Very good. You sound really good. I'll just read for you Joshua 6, verses 17 to 19, and then we'll just pray and jump in this discussion together. It says, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. This is chapter 6. The city, chapter 6, 17 to 19. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Let's just pray, then you will be seated. And we jump in this talk together. Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for this opportunity, Lord, that you've blessed us with, dear God, to hear your word. You've declared your word, Father, that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity you've blessed us with to hear your word. You demonstrate your love for us, dear God, by speaking in our lives, dear God. You show us how you want to rescue us from all forms of danger, dear God, by speaking in our lives, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you'll give us receptive hearts, retentive minds, and lives, dear God, that will live your word, dear God. May we not be like the people, dear God, you see in your word, that if we simply hear your word, but we don't put it into practice, we deceive ourselves, dear God. I pray, dear God, that there'll be no deception in our lives, dear God, that we will take to heart what you are saying, dear God, and indeed, Father, live your word, dear God. Father, let's thank you for this opportunity, dear God, to really just expound on your word, Father. And I pray, dear God, that you live even now, let my body be a temple of the Holy Spirit, wholly filled and flooded with God himself, so that the very words that are declared from my lips will be the very oracles of the living God. Help me today, dear God, to deliver your word plainly and clearly. And may the lives of your people, Father, indeed, Father, be conformed a little bit more into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. All these things I pray in the name of our great Savior, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go through this thing for you pretty quickly. I want to give you a recap of this chapter before I start this chapter. In Joshua chapter 6, and those follow me carefully, and then we begin it. I like to give a kind of go through the chapter first before we actually get into the discussion that we're looking at. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had gone against a territory called Jericho. Jericho was a wicked city, and God had told the Israelites to go up against Jericho and defeat that particular city. But he told them that when you go against the city, the plunder, what is left of that city, do not touch it. It was what you call devoted to the Lord. The KJV, you say, don't touch the accursed thing. They were not supposed to take anything at all. They're supposed to destroy everything. And he told them why. He said, because everything is devoted to the Lord. It meant that this was for the Lord. It was not for you. It's kind of like when you earn and they have some pay, and God says that you must set aside a portion of it for the Lord. It is not for you. It is for the Lord. And if you take what is for the Lord, you are robbing God. It's really something you have to take very personal when God says that portion is not for you. It is for the Lord. He told him when he went to destroy this particular people and he went in his territory, do not touch anything at all, because everything is for the Lord. It is not for you at all. That was in Joshua chapter 6. Now, Joshua, they defeated the people of Jericho, and they came to Joshua chapter 7 now, and they won the war, they defeated the people. But the first verse you bring to on the screen for me in Joshua chapter 7 said this, that the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. So the Israelites were not faithful. And that's the first verse in chapter 7. So the whole story goes from here, where this fellow by the name of Achan had actually taken some things. He took 200 shekels of silver, he took a nice wedge of gold, and he took a Babylonian garment, which was plunder, and he hid it in his tent, and afterwards he acted like everything was fine. Then the Israelites now went up to fight against a lesser territory, a territory by the name of Ai, and Joshua's men said, hey, this is not a big territory at all. Only 2,000 to 3,000 men you need. It's a very small land. We'll just go up and just wipe them out. And when they went up to wipe out that smaller territory, 36 members of Israel's group died. And then Joshua gets angry with the Lord. Joshua says, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen to Israel? Why did you make this fall occur in Israel's life? And he starts blaming God. And then God tells him just three little words. God tells him, get up. And then after that, he tells him the reason. He says, Israel has sinned. Those three words. Keep that in your head. Israel has sinned. And then he tells them all the things that Israel did. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have lied. They have stolen. And he goes through a list of things that Israel did. And then he said, call out the man that is guilty. Get rid of that man. Stone him to death. And afterwards, I will bless you again. And you shall go up and defeat the people. Now, I want you to count. That's the story of Joshua chapter 7. A very interesting story. And I've titled this message again, One Bad Decision and Its Far-Reaching Consequences. Let me hear you. Yeah, man, you guys sound real good. You sound real good. Let's go through this together. Let's go through this word together and see how much we can glean from God's word. You know, a bad decision can be rather costly. A bad decision can be rather costly. As we look through God's word, let me just put this up here. Help me out. As we look through God's word, we see individuals who fail to recognize that one bad decision can be very costly. You know, a fellow who comes to mind is somebody by the name of Amnon. He never saw that one bad decision, and the bad decision that Amnon did was to rape his half-sister Tamar. He had no idea that that one bad decision to rape Tamar, not to control his sexual urges, would have led to Absalom actually plotting to kill him 2 years later. One bad decision. He could have asked for this girl's hand in marriage, and she has encouraged him to ask for her hand in marriage, and he decided no, and the word of God said that he used his strength and he raped her. And he had no idea that when she told her brother Absalom, that Absalom waited 2 years and killed him because of that one bad decision. We can go further, we can see another guy by the name of Samson, and he didn't realize Samson was a man of God. Samson started off pretty well. Samson is the most celebrated judge in the book of Judges, and he didn't realize that one bad decision could wreck his destiny, detour his destiny forever. This one bad decision that Samson made was that Samson went down to this territory in the Gaza, in the Philistine territory, and he saw a young woman, but she was a Philistine woman. She was not an Israelite woman, and he decided to marry that young Philistine woman. And he had no idea that he was introduced in chapter 13. He met the girl in chapter 14, and his marriage did not work. His marriage broke, went to pieces. And he had no idea that chapter 15 and chapter 16, 13, he's introduced, 14, 15, 16, he's on a downward spiral because of one bad decision in a messy relationship. He had no idea that one bad decision would almost wreck his life. Samson, who was called to lead Israel, ends up being a judge who is actually a slave. He's mining something, pushing grain, and his eyes are gouged out, and he's moved from his celebrated position as ruler of Israel to a slave because of one bad decision. If you look further, he found a guy by the name of Judas, and he had no idea that Judas would have made one bad decision and found himself damning his soul for all eternity. He had an insatiable desire for wealth, and he would not actually, the word of God says he always stole from the Lord. He always stole from the church, so to speak. He'd keep on dipping his hand in the church pocket, and he had no idea that his insatiable desire for wealth was eventually going to cause him to damn his soul in hell. Judas died because of an uncontrolled and ungoverned inordinate desire for money. David had no idea that one bad decision, his lustful stare, was going to turn into a libidinous leer, and he was going to actually find himself committing adultery and murder, and that judgment was going to come into his house, where the sword would never leave David's house because of one bad decision. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11, it says in 1 Kings 11 verse 1, it says, at the times when kings go off to war, David instead was not off at war. He was in his house, and he happened to see this naked woman bathing, Bathsheba. Not wrong when he saw the naked woman, but something is wrong when he saw her and continued to look. And he should not have been in there in the first place. He made a bad decision at the pinnacle of his career to be lazy, and his laziness cost him his whole family. He almost lost everything, lost his whole family, his kids, everything, because of one bad decision. As you look through God's word, you have to take it seriously in your heart that one bad decision can wreck your life. As Pastor Murdo was talking, he was saying that we want to enter into 2018 and want to have a successful year, want to have a good year, want to have a godly year. And he told you a verse in Psalm 1 that speaks to the importance of you hiding God's word in your heart if you will have a successful year. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law with him meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it goes through and it tells you, if you actually take God's word seriously, not just be a hearer of the word of God, but take God's word seriously, you will actually have a blessed life going through. You know, one of the things that we have to kind of be mindful in the church is that we're not people who simply hear God's word and say good word. The Word of God says if you simply hear the word of God and say good word, but you do nothing with it, you are deceiving yourself. And many times we evaluate ourselves not based on what we do, but based on what we know. And what we know can fool you. Don't look on just what you know. What you know is important, but God is not going to evaluate God is not going to evaluate you based on just what you know. He's going to evaluate you based on what you do with what you know. What you know is not enough. It is what you do with what you know. One bad decision can cost you. So we have these different examples as we look through the Word of God that one bad decision can cost you. As we look through the Word of God, we find this fellow by the name of Achan. We see that Achan made one bad decision and it cost him everything. It cost him his whole life. It cost him his whole marriage. It cost him his sons and daughters. It cost him his wealth. Everything that he had built up in his life, it had cost him. I need you to keep this particular verse in your mind as we go through this particular topic. In chapter 6, Joshua 6, 17. I want you to bring it on the screen for me. In Joshua 6, 17, we learn that the city of Jericho and all that was in it was to be devoted to the Lord. I want you to keep that in your mind. It was for the Lord. It was not for the Israelites. It was for the Lord. And God gave them that instruction. When you actually attack this territory, don't touch anything. Everything is for the Lord. Verse 18 explains it more clearly in Joshua 6, verse 18. It says, we are told that the Israelites should keep away from the devoted things. They were told not to take any of them because they would cause their destruction. They got a direct word. Stay far from the devoted things because if you do touch it, it will cause your destruction. God's like spilling it out for them. Spelling it out for them. If you touch the thing, it's going to destroy you. Kind of similar to Adam and Eve. You get the word of God, and he says, don't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you touch it, you will surely die. He spells it out for you. Our God is not a God who hides information from you. He reveals the thing to you because the revelation of information will protect you. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to hide things from you. He makes it plain as day for you. And if you ignore what is plain, you will definitely receive the consequence of what you're saying. He makes it plain for you. It's plain. Don't touch it. If you touch it, it will cause your destruction. How much more plain could you get? He just made it plain for them. Verse 18 spells out for you, and verse 19 goes further. The silver, the gold, the articles of bronze, the iron, they are sacred. They're not for you. They are sacred, and they are for the treasure of the Lord. It is just not for you. Achan got a clear instruction. All of Israel got a clear instruction. But the question is, why would Achan get a clear instruction and even after a clear instruction still make a stupid decision? There are three reasons revealed in this passage why Achan got a clear instruction and still made a stupid decision. The first reason, and note the three reasons please. The first reason that Achan made a bad decision after getting a clear instruction is because he failed to pay attention to what he heard. That's the first reason that Achan made a bad decision. If you and I don't pay attention to what we hear, we will make a bad decision. Achan made a bad decision because he failed to pay attention to what he heard. You know, Deuteronomy 32, verse 47 is a beautiful verse in the Bible. It says, these words are not just idle words, they are your life. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Word of God. I want, if you can bring it up on the screen for me. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. I want us to just see this verse together. Deuteronomy. It's coming up? All right, cool. It's coming up. Forgive me for my impatience. It says, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. I love how the NIV puts it. It says, these words are not just idle words. Empty, that word vain, it means they're not just empty words for you. By this word you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over to the Jordan to possess. You see, bad decisions are made by individuals who fail to pay attention to what they've heard. Somehow Achan heard the word of God, but he never thought it applied to him. You see, that's the thing, you know. Sometimes when you hear information, you don't realize that it applies to you. It sounds way over the top. It sounds like it's something that you would never do. But God is not saying it because people are there who would never do it. God is saying it because there are always people there who would do it. I've learned as I've been in ministry for a little while and preaching the Word of God that every single scenario in the Word of God is in the church. Every single scenario. You want to speak about witchcraft? It's in the church. You want to speak about prostitution? It's in the church. Every single scenario that you can find, as gross as it is in the Word of God, you'll find it right in the midst of your ministry. You'll find it right there. God is speaking because he says, people are here who are doing the very thing that I'm speaking to. It's always for you. The Word of God is always for you. And many people unfortunately think that when the Word of God is being preached, it's not for me. They come out to tell you rubbish like, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this word. I wish somebody else was here to hear this. That was a word, and I know exactly who needed to hear that word. But God knew you heard it, you needed to hear it. And God is saying, you who heard the Word of God, pay attention to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Somehow Achan never thought that what he heard was applicable to him. Unfortunately, many people make bad decisions before they recognize the importance of what they've heard. Take, for example, Adam and Eve. They both heard not to touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They heard, but they didn't pay attention to what they heard. You see, too many people fail to see the value of what they're hearing until they make a bad decision. Until they make a bad decision. As the saying goes, you live and you learn. But it's a very foolish thing for you to live and learn. You should be listening and learning. In the book of Romans, it tells you kind of beautifully. It says, these things were written aforetime for your learning. Not your ignoring. For your learning. God has recorded things in the Word of God so that you can learn and I can learn. He has put it down for you. And he says, every single scenario you would ever face in your life, the answer is right here. If you would simply learn this, you recognize that every scenario that you face in life, the Word of God wraps it up with the answer. These things were written aforetime for your learning. You ignore it to your own peril. You fail to read the Word of God to your own destruction. You damn your soul when you ignore God's voice. You put yourself in harm's way when you ignore the voice of God. It's a serious thing when God is speaking. Pay attention to your Creator. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Adam and Eve realized what God was saying when they plunged humanity into a lost eternity. Adam and Eve realized what God was saying when their son Cain killed their other son Abel. Adam and Eve recognized what God is saying when the pain of the wrong choice came flooding in their very life. That's when they recognized, oh my goodness, this is why God said, do not touch the tree. That's a foolish way for you to learn. God told you don't touch the tree. And the only way that you get to recognize why God says what he says, if you actually go against God and receive the dire consequences, only then you will know and understand why God says, don't go down that road. You don't need to learn it that way. Because life is too painful if you learn it that way. The decisions are too painful if you learn it that way. And many people do not recover when they learn it that way. So you have to trust and obey. You don't understand why God says what he says, for you are not God. You have to trust and obey. You cannot reason out why God says what he says. You just have to trust and obey. You can't intellectualize or make sense of why God says what he says. You just have to trust and obey. And that's why God says in Psalm 25, the man who will never be put to shame is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. The man who puts his trust in the Lord. He will never be disappointed. Never be put to shame. Never will I cast him off, for he has trusted me. And because he trusts in the Lord, I will never let him be put to shame. Who are the people who are put to shame? The people who have to disobey to learn. The people who disobey to learn. The ones who disobey in order to learn. Some people speak foolishly and they tell you, hey, my sins taught me something. The Word of God doesn't tell you. Sin doesn't teach you anything. The only thing sin does is deceive you. It hardens your heart. It teaches you absolutely nothing. It blinds you and it prevents you from understanding anything that God is saying. Sin doesn't teach you anything. The Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. The only thing that sin gives you is death. Death to your conscience. Death to your reputation. Death to your integrity. The only thing you get out of sin is death. It doesn't teach you anything. It kills. Achan just didn't pay attention to what he heard. He didn't realize that what he was hearing was a valuable thing to hear. The second reason why people make bad decisions because their desire to please themselves supersedes their desire to please the Lord. People make bad decisions because their desire to please themselves supersedes their desire to please the Lord. Achan made a bad decision, number one, because he failed to pay attention to what he heard. Achan made a bad decision, number two, because his desires superseded his desire to please God. You see, what blocks us from recognizing the value of what we're hearing is a selfish desire to satisfy ourselves. Achan was told not to touch the devoted things. In Joshua 7:21, we're told that Achan coveted the devoted things. I have to break down that word for you. That word coveted is translated from the Hebrew word kamad. I don't want you to listen to the definition of it. The Hebrew word kamad, it means an inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire. That's what coveted means. Let me give it again. The Hebrew word for coveted is kamad, and it means an inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire. He was saying in Joshua 7 verse 21, he was saying that Achan had an inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire for the Babylonian garment. He had an inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire for 200 shekels of silver. He had an inordinate, ungoverned desire for a wedge of gold. That's what he's saying when he says he coveted it. He had an inordinate, ungoverned, lack of self-control, inordinate desire for that particular thing. You see, this is what happens when everyone fails to see the value of what they're hearing until after they made a bad decision. They allow inordinate, selfish motives to rule them. When our desire to please ourselves supersedes our desire to please the Lord, we will make a bad decision. Samson made a bad decision because his desire for a relationship with a Philistine woman superseded his desire to honor the Lord. You know, one of the things about God is when you're making a bad decision, God is always speaking to you. When Samson was making a bad decision, Samson's father said to him, couldn't you not find among your own people a suitable woman? You see, God doesn't force anything on you. God don't go push it down your throat. He just gonna speak to you like a father to you. Couldn't you not find a suitable woman among your own people? And Samson said, no, she's the one I want. The dad did not respond. Notice that the dad did not respond. The dad just kind of left it there. Is that what God is? He won't pressure you. He don't want to shake heaven to let you know that this is a wrong decision. He will just send his word to you. And you can reject it when he sends his word. He just sends his word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He just send your word. He don't want to stuff it on your throat. He don't want to make you get it. He just send his word. And it's up to you to submit to God's word or say, no. I have another desire. I actually want to do this. And I'm going to overrule what God's word says. I'm going to overrule it. Samson heard what his father said. Samson knew, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Samson knew his parents had prayed for him. Samson knew the angel of the Lord had revealed to his father the rule for training Samson. Samson knew that God had spoken in his parents' life for him, but Samson looked at his father, who was his greatest earthly authority, and Samson said to his greatest earthly authority, she is the right one for me. You see how stupid you can get when your desire to please yourself supersedes your desire to please God? Because if Samson wanted to please God, Samson would have said, I feel for this girl here, but God's word is telling me something else here. I feel to go in this wrong direction, but God's word is saying something else to me. And what Samson would have done, I don't want to trust my feeling, I'll trust what God's word says. And he would have leaned towards children obey your parents. But when your desire is so strong, you find a reason. I'm a big man now. I'm a big woman now. You know, I'm still going to my parents' house. I earn my own money. I make my own decisions. Yeah, you speak from a fleshly perspective and you make a dumb choice. You know why? Because you refuse to submit your desire to God's desire for you. You can't afford to refuse. Samson refused to submit his desire to God's desire for him. That's why he made a bad decision. Almost wrecked his whole destiny. Almost detoured his very life. Why? Because he made a bad decision. Now that God wasn't speaking, he chose to go against God, even though God was speaking. It's kind of strange when God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, don't touch the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I like that verse. And when I read that verse, I love that verse. Because when you read that verse, it says that they're told, do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting to me that he says, the tree had good and evil in it. But when your desire is so strong to please yourself and not God, you don't see the evil, you just see the good. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, yeah man. Good is there, but evil is there as well. And God said, don't touch it, because it has both of them. And I only want you to touch that which is holy. I don't want you messing around with good and evil. I want you to stick to good, full stop. But here is Samson, here is Eve. Eve gets tricked. The devil says, no, you'll be like God. And Eve gets tricked. You know why Eve gets tricked? Because her desires blind her to the evil. When she looks on a tree, she just sees the good. Kind of like a young woman who looks on a guy and says, he's a good man, but he's not a Christian. And she wants him so badly that her desire for the man blinds her to see the evil. She just sees only good. Until he starts to beat her, until he starts to cheat on her, until he starts to abuse her, until he starts to really make her see the evil that was there all the while. God spoke it as clear as day. Do not be unequally yoked, but you couldn't hear. So now you have to feel the evil of the tree. Eve couldn't hear. The knowledge of good and evil, stay far from it. And because you can't hear, now you have to feel the evil of the tree. You didn't have to feel the evil. You just had to recognize if it has good and bad, stay far from it. God only says every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of life. He doesn't give you good and evil. He only gives you good. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. He don't mix it up for you. He's not unable to give you that which is only good for you. He's not unable to do it. If you don't trust him though, you're going to stick to good and evil. You're going to mess up yourself with good and evil. When God was saying, I was only planning good for you. I was only giving you good. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. No evil is in it. Only good. When you read Revelation and you see what God has in heaven, what God has in store for you. Streets paved with gold. Oh no, no sickness, none. No evil, no night. Nothing bad is there. God is a good God. Only good. And so it is that those who trust in him, they receive God's goodness. No mixture. No mixture of good and evil. Strictly good. But are you patient to wait on God for that which is all good? Or are you impatient and your desires rule in such a way that you settle for the good and evil? My goodness. So many people settle for the good and evil. When God was saying, I was only going to give you good. So it is that Achan made a bad decision because his desire to please himself superseded his desire to please God. The last reason I give you very quickly, we're in the new year now, happy new year. But the last reason I give you very quickly, why Achan made a bad decision because he failed to consider the consequences of his choice. We make bad decisions when we fail to consider the consequences of our choice. Let me give that again. So Achan made a bad decision, number one, because he did not pay attention to what he heard. We make bad decisions when our desire to please ourselves supersedes our desire to please the Lord. And we make bad decisions when we fail to consider the consequences of our choice. When Achan sinned in the devoted things, he did not see the compulsory consequences of his actions. Let me read it again. When Achan sinned in taking the devoted things, he did not see the compulsory consequences. He said the choice is yours, but the consequences are compulsory. They're coming. Whether you see it or not, they're coming. They're coming. Achan had no idea that the consequences were following his bad decision. I want you to look on these verses for me. In Joshua 7 verse 12, Achan had no idea that the presence of God had lifted off Israel. That's an amazing thing to me. Achan had no idea that his sin was going to cause God's presence to lift off Israel's life. In 7 verse 12, God says, he's no longer with you. He's no longer with you. And the soul of Israel could not stand before the enemies. They will turn their backs before the enemies because they have become cursed. I will not be with you again. God was not with them. That's why they lost. When Samson got his hair shaved off, as my mother always tells me, one of the most sad verses in the Bible is that Samson said, I'll get up and attack them as before. And the word of God says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. Do you understand that? It says Samson did not know that God had left him. He had no idea. And the same thing can happen in a church's life. In Revelation 3, when God is speaking to the church, and he's saying you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. People say that you are the church to be at. People rate you as the church to be at. But God looking down, he says, you are dead. How could a church be dead? Why? Jesus, the presence of God is not there. No presence. And when no presence is there, only flies and maggots exist. Because no presence is there. No life is there. He had no idea that his sin was going to cause God's presence to lift off Israel's life. Israel went into war, and Israel went in war with the presence of God. So Moses was a guy who was sensitive to the presence of God. When Moses was praying, he says, Lord, don't let me go up against these Amalekites. I'm not to go up unless you go with me, Lord. And Moses prayed, and Moses stayed there, because it was important to Moses that he didn't go up with talent. He didn't go up with skill. He went up with the presence of God. He knew how important it was that he spent time before God, that he would go in the presence of God. There's so many people who realize you need the presence of God. You don't have to be extra talented. You don't have to be extra skilled or majorly qualified. But God's presence can open doors that no one else can open for you. God's presence can make a way where nothing else can make a way. God's presence can open doors where doors are remaining shut in your life. If you'd simply spend time in the presence of God and be sensitive to God's presence. So many Christians are not sensitive to the presence of God. The presence of God. We sit down and we watch anything. We say anything we want. We have no apology inside of us. We have no repentance inside of us. We have no brokenness inside of us. Because at the end of the day, we are sensitive to the presence of God. Every Christian that has come into the saving knowledge of Christ knows what it means to be in the presence of God. And it's the place you don't want to leave. It's a place you don't want to leave. It's a place where you're broken when it doesn't appear. You don't need God's presence once a year. You need God's presence every single day. You need to experience the presence of God. Achan did not have God's presence, and he seemed to have been fine. God's presence was not on his life, and it seems that he was fine. You see, when God's presence is not in your life, Babylonian garments will satisfy you. Clothes will satisfy you. When God's presence is not in your life, finances will satisfy you. When God's presence is not in your life, that's what you go for. That's why God says in Matthew, he says, don't be like the pagans who run after these things. The pagans run after wealth. They run after money. That's what's on their mind. They worry about their very life. He says, do not be like that. Why? Because you're not a pagan. You're a child of God. Children of God. We don't have that on our mind. This is what we have on our mind. How can I fulfill the will of God? How can I make sure that God is pleased in my life? That's what you have on your mind. You don't have on your mind, how can I earn some more money? How can I be in a better place financially? That's not on your mind. How many times Christians are making moves in their life? They're going to migrate. Why? Financially grounded. Not grounded in God's will. God is calling me there. This is where God is leading me. No, I can earn better if I go over there. How could you make a decision like that as a child of God? Children of God don't make decisions like that. We make decisions to be in the presence of God. Wherever you are, God can open the door for you. Wherever you are, God can bust the thing down for you. It doesn't matter where you are. Many people leave and get disappointed because they left the presence of God. Achan never had the presence of God. He never saw his bad decision would lead to him missing God's presence on his life. Achan did not see that he would become guilty of manslaughter. Look at chapter 7, verse 4 to 5 quickly. He did not see that he would become guilty of manslaughter. Joshua 7, 4 to 5. Let's look on the screen here. It says 36 people died. About 3,000 men of right, three, right? About 3,000 men of people, 3,000 men of the people went up there, and they fled before the men of Ai. Thank you, verse 5. And the men of Ai struck about 36 men of them. They chased them from the city gate to Shebarim. In other words, 36 men died. He did not see that his action would cause 36 men to die. These were not those 36 flies that died. These were 36 men that died. These were now 36 mothers, 36 wives who had no husband. Many children who had no father. Many daughters who'd walked down the aisle by themselves, and on their wedding day, when they're asked, who is the person who gave them away? No husband, no father, sorry, to say, I'll give the person away. He had no idea that dreams died. He had no idea that he destroyed the life of 36 families. Sometimes you don't realize how one sinful decision has such devastating consequences. I was leading a law class the other day, and a young girl said to me, I asked a question, you know, we're looking at, you know, penalties for criminal activity. And the question was, should we abolish the death penalty? And the majority of the class leaned in the direction that we should abolish the death penalty. The person has already died, there's no reason to take another person's life. I hate when Christians speak like that as well. Because God's word actually speaks very clearly. And God's word says, you hear some professors, professor this and professor that, saying how, you know, the death penalty should be abolished. The studies have shown. What studies that? What studies are those? But these studies have shown, these studies that we can't name, these studies that we can't call, these so-called studies out there have shown that the death penalty does not deter criminal activity. Singapore doesn't believe that. Singapore does not believe that. And they don't have a death penalty like, they don't have a murder rate like Jamaica. Singapore doesn't believe that. The countries that believe that actually have an increasing murder rate. And God's word does not agree with it. God's word says, man who sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed. He makes it very clear. Capital punishment, God agrees with it wholeheartedly. But you have many Christians though, who have not heard God's word. You have many Christians though, who think something else. You have many Christians though, with another opinion. Why? Because they're not grounded on scripture. Something else out there means more than God's word. Something else out there has more authority in their head than God's word. Something else out there is a better solution than God's word. That's why you know you're speaking to devils, not Christians, devils, who actually submit God's word to law. Law must submit to God's word. Law that changes every year, every 2 months, every 3 years. Law that keeps on vacillating and going forward, actually changing itself in keeping with the society. Let's submit the God's word to law. God's word doesn't think so. God's word says, I will not be with you until you deal with this thing, until this man is dealt with. That's what God's word says. God didn't just look at it and say, I'll just overlook these people. I'll just overlook Achan's sin. No, no, God's word says, I'm going to deal with Achan. And until you deal with Achan, I will not be with you. You see, the choice is, are you going to deal with the sin or leave God? Are you going to deal with the sin or walk with God? When God says, get that man out of your life, are you going to keep the man in your life and leave God? When God says, that particular relationship, he needs to go, are you going to keep that relationship and leave God? You see, God can't make it clear. God can't make the word of God clear. He can't say, if you can't walk with God your way, you have to walk with God his way. You can't walk with God your way, you have to walk with God his way. You have to trust and obey and walk with God his way. I remember praying for a lady who came to the altar call, and while praying for her, the Spirit of God had put on my heart that she was living with a man. I had no idea what this lady was doing. I have never met this lady in my life. But while praying for her, I moved the mic from my mouth and I asked her, are you now living with a man? She said, yes. Are you married to that man? She said, no. She wanted God's blessing. I said, no. You have to leave that man. You have to leave that context. You cannot have God's blessing in that sinful context until you get out of it. And she left. She left. And you know what? It reminded me of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him what he should do. Yeah, man. Jesus told him, get rid of your riches, because that's the idol in your life. And the rich young ruler, he left. He walked away, very sad. And you know what I love about that scripture? Jesus did not run after him. Jesus did not run after him. Jesus said, the choice is yours. Walk, rude boy. You have to love how Jesus goes. Jesus is teaching the church, you don't need to woo anybody to Christ. If you don't have some initiative of yourself, you can walk. Walk. What is offered is eternal life. If you don't consider yourself worthy of eternal life, walk. You will receive the dire consequences of eternal death. Achan didn't realize. I have to just wrap it up here for you. What did Achan get? What did Achan get? This is what Achan got. A Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a barrel of gold weighing 50 shekels. What did Achan lose as a result? He lost his family. His sons were stoned to death. I want you to read in chapter 27, 24 to 26. We end right here. Joshua 7, 24 to 26. Let's end it right here. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah. Look what he lost because of a bad decision. And the silver, that they took Achan, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Keep going. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all Israel, say it with me, and all Israel stoned him with stones. Say for me again. And all Israel stoned him with stones. Say it again. Jotham didn't even get to use the Babylonian garment. He didn't even get to buy a Ferrari with 200 shekels of silver. He didn't even get to invest the gold and wait until it appreciated. He didn't even get to use the thing he stole. You see, all the devil can just rob you. He didn't even get to use it. He didn't even get to wear it. He didn't even get to spend it. He just died with it. That is what the cursed thing will do to you. It will take you and it will kill you with it. That's exactly what it will do. But you say, I don't want to make a bad decision like Achan. And I'm sure you don't want to make that bad decision either. I want to make a decision like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That when the king told him, bow to the idol, they recognized that was a bad decision. And they made a good decision. If you have to throw me in the fire, I'm still going to make a good decision. And the king threw him in the fire. And the king himself said, we threw three men in the fire, but there's four men in the fire. Why did he get a testimony? Why was Jesus with them? Because they made a good decision. I don't want to be like Achan and make a bad decision. I want to be like Daniel, who made a good decision. That when they said, I can't find no fault in Daniel, we can't find no fault in his work. The only thing we can find fault in is with his God. So he said, boy, Daniel, we need to get him to stop praying. And the king gave the instruction that nobody should pray. But Daniel opened his door, his windows to Jerusalem. And as he would normally do, he prayed three times a day for God to come through. And they brought Daniel to the king and threw him in the lion's den. And Daniel said, I didn't make a bad decision. I made a good decision. It's a good thing in your conscience when you get a penalty because you made a good decision. You see, when you make a bad decision and you get a beating, the word of God says, what benefit is that for you? But when you make a good decision and then they give you a penalty, in the midst of the penalty, you can say, I made a good decision. And the lion's mouths were shut. And the men who tried to get him killed, they were thrown in the lion's den. And before they touched the ground, the lions broke their bones. Why? Because they made a bad decision. But why did God shield Daniel? Because Daniel made a good decision. I want to be like David, who made a good decision. That when David actually got the opportunity to kill Saul, and he was encouraged by the sons of Zeruiah to kill Saul, and David said, no, I cut a piece of his garment, but I'm not feeling good on the inside. That was a bad decision. And David said, I will not touch the one's anointed. David said, I'm going to make a good decision. And God eventually killed Saul. That's what 1 Chronicles 9 tells you. That God killed Saul because he rejected the word of the Lord. David did not have to get his hands dirty. Why? Because David made a good decision. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who got the temptation to stop preaching. And he said, boy, woe to me if I don't preach the word of God. I've preached the word of God, it has got me in trouble. And he was really tempted sometimes to make a bad decision to stop preaching the word of God. But he kept on, and he's now regarded as the world's greatest apostle. Why? Because he made a good decision. Though persecution come, yet will I do the call of God. I want to be like Joseph, who was tempted to commit adultery. And that would have been a bad decision. He would have made a bad decision to kind of go off with another man's wife. But Joseph looked on Potiphar's wife and said, how could I do this wicked thing and sin against God? He did not take the opportunity to do a bad decision. He took the opportunity to make a good decision. But most of all, I want to be like my Lord and Savior Jesus. That when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was tempted not to go through with the call of God. And he prayed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And he was tempted again, don't go through with the will of God. But he prayed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And he was tempted again, don't go through with the will of God. But he prayed, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And we are always grateful to God, called children of God, because our Lord and Savior, he made a good decision. For your 2018 as you go through, if you all go through with an anointing of God resting on you, the presence of God in your life, take this message to heart. Reject the bad decision and make the good decision. The godly decision. God bless you guys. Always a pleasure to be with you. And Happy New Year.